Najee Ali is an old friend of mine. By the way, Mark Thompson is with us. That's the other voice you hear. And Mark Thompson has a radio show or something, a website. I don't know.
Yeah, we can talk about it later.
Anyway, Najee Ali is an old pal of mine. We met during the Sharice Iverson case back in 1998, and he helped us out there. We've been friends ever since. I wanted to get his reaction. Najee Ali, welcome to KFI. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. I'm actually here in the city of Minneapolis. I was actually... Yeah, I'm here. I'm with the Floyd family, Reverend Sharpton, Jack Jackson, Attorney Ben Crump, and leaders here from Minnesota. So I'm here on the ground.
Oh, good. You know, I'm glad you are there because I pictured you like sitting in your house in L.A. and they always seem to, you know, want to take the spotlight, and the spotlight should be on you. You've done more in Los Angeles for the community that's been neglected or left out of a lot of different areas than anybody I know in L.A.
Well, that's a tremendous compliment, and I'm just appreciative of your long-time support over the years and giving me a platform to talk about peace and unity on your show. So thank you, Tim.
You got it, buddy. So where were you when you heard the verdict?
I was actually outside the courtroom.
Okay.
I had just helped Reverend Jackson in side, and we heard the news, and it was actually a great sense of relief. People were crying, yelling, screaming, and very joyful. For me personally, it was a sense of, I'm glad the Floyd family got justice, but obviously there are no winners tonight.
Sure.
George Floyd is still dead, and Officer Derek Chauvin, ex-officer, is headed to prison. His life is ruined. So I actually felt sorry for his family, his friends, because obviously both families have suffered and will continue to suffer.
Well, you know, during the trial, I noticed my wife watched almost every second of it. I popped in and out. But I noticed that there was two sides of the court, obviously the prosecution and the defense. And then there was two sections set aside for family members. And the George Floyd side was always standing room only, always full with supporters and relatives and friends and activists. But I never saw anybody on the opposite side, on Derek's side.
That's an interesting observation. Obviously, I'm not sure who was in on his side, but I was on the inside with the Floyd family, Reverend Jackson Sharpton, Ben Crump, and other black leaders from across the nation who flew in to support the family.
By the way, I saw Jesse Jackson. He looks like, you know, he looks good. I know he's gone through some physical challenges. Did you get an opportunity to talk with him?
Oh, yes. I spent time talking to him. Actually, I had to help him walk. He does have Parkinson's, but his mind is still sharp. He just has limitations in walking. So I actually had to help him walk to make sure he didn't fall. And at the end of him speaking, actually helped put his mask back on. So it was just, you know, very touching to me because he's like a father figure, and certainly he has health limitations now. So I think it's our time for those who Jackson mentored and helped take care of him now.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, so what's the next move for Crump and the whole crew there? Are they going, I heard the next or another big case is one in Texas?
Well, there's big cases all across the country, knowing Ben Crump and the work and the cases he already has. And so I do know this case is not over with because there's still three officers who have to go to trial later this year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There were four officers charged. Derek Chauvin was just the main person, but three other officers were charged also with criminal penalties. So our attitude was one down, three to go.
Right. And what's the vibe on the streets there in the Twin Cities?
It's actually peaceful, thank God. And that was another main reason why I decided to fly at my own expense here to support the Floyd family and my fellow activists, because I have experience from April 29th, 1992, when we saw L.A. burn down to the ground almost. So I came asking citizens that no matter what the verdict was, you must remain peaceful no matter what happens.
Right. All right. And so, but it is peaceful right there. But they had 3,000 National Guard, I guess, men and women on duty. That seemed like a lot.
Well, I think it was a lot. Obviously, I guess the leadership wanted to be prepared in case the verdict did not go the way African Americans thought it should go. I thought it was a slight overreaction because, for me, just walking downtown and seeing soldiers with guns was a little bit unnerving and unsettling as a visitor to the city.
Right. By the way, is that the first time you've been to Minneapolis, Minnesota?
This is my third trip. The first time I came was when George Floyd was actually murdered.
Oh.
I saw it on CNN and got my credit card and bought a ticket and was out here the next day. And then I was actually out here for the first day of the trial. That was when my picture was actually covered on the front page of the LA Times with Reverend Sharpton and Ben Crump and the Floyd family. So this is my third trip.
Wait, you pulled out your own credit card? Last time you and I had lunch, you said you had no credit card.
I got a credit card now for emergencies.
Oh, I see.
I'm not Black Lives Matter. I don't have millions of dollars in the bank. You're buying houses.
I get it. All right. So how long are you there for?
I leave here Thursday, going back to L.A. There's a funeral I found on attending. Reverend Sharpton's paying for it and doing the eulogy for Dante Wright, the 20-year-old African-American male who was unarmed and shot and killed 10 miles away from here last week.
Right, the Brooklyn Center, right?
Yeah, Brooklyn Center. So I've been there talking to residents as well earlier today, letting them know that no matter who encourages you to stay confrontational, don't do that, because that'll get you in trouble. And these elected officials, they live in million-dollar homes and don't have to worry about getting arrested. And but you do. So
right, but you've
I'm
always
just trying to be a voice of reason.
Look, for people who don't know Najee Ali, from the moment I met you, you've always been 100% anti-violence and anti-riot, and you've never ever swayed even an inch from that.
And I don't intend on doing that. Ultimately, when I do die, retire, my legacy will be one of peace and trying to bridge unity among Angelenos of different races and religions. So that's what I stand for.
Yeah, and by the way, it must have been. Look, I mean, it's a big day for, you know, for George Floyd's family and a big day for a lot of people who are, you know, related to him and friends of them in that community. But it's also got to be a pretty big day for you for fighting for so many decades and then getting, you know, this type of, you know, sort of a landslide decision.
Well, it was a historic day for activists all across the country. Me personally, I felt a sense of not achievement. A victory, but just relief that finally a family that we've helped advocate for from the beginning got justice from the judicial system, because we all know historically it's really difficult to convict a police officer for doing anything wrong, even if you have videotape, such as the Rodney King beating, when those officers were all found not guilty. So today was actually a historic day in the judicial system and for civil rights and social justice.
I mean, officers do have, you know, the presumption of innocence because of, you know, the way the United States feels about cops. Conversely, if I'm accused of anything, even by an email from an anonymous person, my boss thinks I'm 100% guilty. I don't have that shield like the cops do in radio. Anytime you're accused of anything in the radio, guilty, 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 guilty.
Sounds like there might be some baggage there, Tim.
There's a little bit.